Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But today we're going to be talking about sound power, which, believe it or not, affects the mind in an incredible way. And my guest today is Jonathan Goldman. Jonathan has been on my show before because this is a man who has dedicated his life to understanding the effects of sound. He's put out a number of publications, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing. We now have The Cosmic Hum. I mean, there's so much that he has been able to contribute because of his research and because he has such a passion for this. So we are going to be talking about something that really, really intrigued me, and it's totally new to me. Not that sound is not a useful tool, but he has come out with something that, well, you're just going to have to hear about it. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to the show.
Donna, what a pleasure it is to be connecting with you and resonating with you. Hello, and hello to all your listeners.
You know, Jonathan, you and Andy, your wife, she's just such a doll. The two of you have this phenomenal commitment to making this world a better place through sound. And I just got back from a business trip, and I'm telling you, when I was paying attention to mostly what goes on, most of us at one time or another, we zone out because we get preoccupied with our thoughts, and we don't realize the impact that sound has. And I was just observing because I knew our interview was coming up, and I was in an airport environment where there was this discordant sound of music that was going on that, to me, was reminiscent of agitation. It wasn't something that provided what I'd call a calming effect. And I was watching the people around me, and I thought, are they really oblivious to all of this? They're not really, because on a subconscious level, they're taking it all in. And I was looking at how they were not interacting very much with each other. I was looking at various things. And then I happened to find myself on the same trip in an environment where there were high-pitched sounds that just, I said, oh, boy, if I were in this environment, I'd probably end up bopping everybody over the head. I mean, it just got to me. And then there was another environment of sound that was soothing. All of us sort of can relate to it, but we don't realize how this influences us. So would you just give us a little bit of your background, Jonathan? Because some of my listeners have not heard of you or what you've done before. Tell us a little bit about your personal journey of how you got in to becoming one of the masters of teaching and understanding the usefulness of sound.
I will be most glad to do that, Donna, but may I comment upon your statement, which actually does bring into the with regard to your statement that after I tell my story, that the following happened about 2 to 3 weeks later as I became aware of how sound and music were, if you like, really powerful ways of triggering and affecting our nervous systems. I came across a recording called Music for Airports by a fellow by the name of Brian Eno, who is one of actually the great, among other things, he was a musician in a group called Roxy Music, and he was also, he still is one of the great producers of our time. He's produced everybody from U2 to, all these modern people, and his Music for Airports is a wonderful, ambient, relaxing thing. And I guess his vision was that this type of music would be played in airports so that people would not be in that hyper state, because we are in a hyper state in an airport anyway. Yes. And then the sound just heightens our hyper state, and You know, I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. I have a very good friend who is a blues musician, a very well-known blues musician. And some years ago, I sent him one of my CDs, and he said, well, it's now downloaded on my iPod, and whenever I need to chill out on an airplane, because he travels a whole lot, Donna, and often I just got to sleep on a plane. He said, I just put this stuff on, and it really chills me out. And it's very interesting, because we actually began to play together in a blues band in the 1920s. 1920s. Good God.
I've been around a long time.
No. When we were in our...
You're looking pretty good, guy. I don't know what you're thinking,
you.
But you're looking good.
It's sound. No, when we were in our 20s in the late 1960s, and he then went on to play with people like Muddy Waters and stuff like that, and he's just a lovely man, and we went our separate ways, and so now I can get back into... there I was in the early 1970s, and I wasn't playing with this fellow anymore in a blues band. I was playing in a more of a, oh, golly, I hate to admit it, but more of a kind of a punk rock band, because that was what was needed if you, at the time, if you wanted to play original music. And, you know, that was what was happening in the clubs. If you wanted to find work, you had to be playing in that genre. And I came back from a break with my band, and I literally strapped on my guitar, began playing, and I looked out at the audience, and I became aware that the music that we were creating was helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence. Mm-hmm. Now, Donna, no question, the alcohol and the other intoxicants that the people were imbibing in was also doing this, but by gosh and by golly, I realized that the music was also helping induce this violent reaction that the people were having towards themselves and toward everything. And I thought, gee, what if music could be used to make people feel good? Now, I mean, that's no great big thought, except for the fact that I've been playing professionally for a whole lot of years before that, and I had never had that thought. And all of a sudden, that thought entered my psyche, my mind, and then about 2 to 3 weeks, it began to transform and shift and change to what if sound could be used to heal. And from there, there were literally a couple of books out on the market and a couple of CDs, including, as I mentioned, this fellow Brian Eno, and I began to listen to this, and I literally, about a week or two later, I was handed a flyer about a workshop by a woman named Sarah Benson doing sound healing. And I took this workshop, and my life was literally transformed. And I'll tell you what happened. I was literally put in the middle of a circle. People chanted and sang my name. I was, if you like, pulled out of my body. I'd never had an experience like this in my life. And when I got back in, I went, wow, I've got to find out more about this work with sound. And I literally made that dedication. I founded the Sound Healers Association. I received a master's degree in researching the uses of sound and music for healing from Lesley University. Created the Healing Sounds brand, if you like, so that a lot of our award-winning recordings are all geared toward the therapeutic and transformative use of sound. It's been my great passion. I found the world's most wonderful, not only psychotherapist, but angelic being, who is my wife, Andy, as you mentioned, and we work together. What a blessing that is. And we continue to do this work with sound. And Donna, the only reason we do it is because it's so powerful. It's something that everyone can do. And yet, for some reason, I've been in this field for more than 30 years. I would have thought by now that everybody in the world would be understanding the power of sound. And still, somehow, it remains a mystery to most people.
Well, I think that it takes an awareness on a level. And you have reached so many millions of people, Jonathan, through your work. And when I think about it, I think of how every subsequent generation has to learn for themselves about the effects of sound. And I, think of material that I read about from World War II, and this is going to have a negative connotation to it to a degree, and how the Nazis had done research on sound. The German people have this phenomenal ability, it's just in their genetics, I think, to deal with absolute critical facts. And they were able to utilize sound in many ways that was very, very negative and very, very harmful. And it was in records in different places. But you go back thousands of years in some records that have been discovered. The use of sound, whether you're talking about Aboriginals of Australia or other peoples, they knew about the vibratory frequency of sound. And coming into the modern day environment, I was just reviewing some material when I was getting ready to get on the plane, and I was finding how the Japanese have incorporated many corporations for understanding the use of sound. And I started to reflect again, because I knew we were going to be chatting today, and I thought, gee, there's a mall in Bellevue, Washington. They were having problems with discordant activity that adolescents were bringing into the mall. Just really, just very, very much at odds with everyone. It was affecting the shopkeepers, and they were just very upset with this. And so they made one shift, and that was in the music they played in the mall, and they shifted to classical music. They didn't have the discordant teenagers anymore. They just evaporated away. The merchants have been happy, and they are just thrilled to death. So sound has such a phenomenal effect. People that are in advertising are aware of this, and they know how powerful it is. And when I listen to music, when I listen to certain shows, when I watch certain movies, and I listen to the musical arrangements, and there is that, if you took a movie, took its music out, its sound effects out, you look at it and go, okay, I'm seeing what this is, and I'm listening to the talk, but it doesn't have the same effect. That's where Hollywood and the advertising world has become very sophisticated, and it can be used negatively as well as positively, but I don't think that most people are really cognizant about how it affects them. They may sort of know, but the effect on the minds of young children, on adolescents, on the elderly. I mean, I see it no matter what the age is. It's very, very powerful. And you have gone far beyond what many people have gone beyond, because you say, I want to bring to you the awareness that certain tones, certain sounds can help you make your shift, just like your life went through the shift in that healing circle, if you will. That's the term I would use. It was a transformational circle for you, really. These tones brought together by other people. You've had experiences with Tibetan masters. You have this capacity of making these multi-level tones. They even had one in the Rose Parade, which surprised me. They had the Tibetan master that was known for making certain sounds. And I remember one interviewer saying, come on, come on, come on. You got to do this again. You got to do it again, like you show. You know, right, this is right, what you're doing. But he was in the Rose Parade. At one point, he did it. And if your ear was attuned, you heard all of these different sounds. But he didn't do it over and over and over and over again. He did it at one time, and I happened to hear it. You've come out with something called the Cosmic Hum. I want to talk about two things today. One is the Cosmic Hum, and the other is the Pineal Activator Kit. Now,
Donna, can I interrupt you for just a minute? Because, you know, you just said a mouthful. And how long can I get to just say a couple of things about what you said that were so surprising before we move on? Can I have a couple of minutes just to just dialogue with you? Because you just said so many different things, but in particular, you talked about the Germans during World War II having knowledge of sound. And I'm just going to give you a quote from Omni Magazine. You remember Omni Magazine? I don't know if they're still in print.
Yes, I remember hearing about Omni. Oh, yes, it was a psychological magazine.
Psychological, scientific. Okay,
yeah.
Here's a quote. I want you to tell me who said it. We would not have conquered Germany without the automobile, the airplane, and the loudspeaker. I'll repeat that again for $10,000. Ooh, no. We would not have conquered Germany without the automobile, the airplane, or the loudspeaker. You know who said that?
No, I don't.
Adolf Hitler.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so I'm very, very surprised that you had knowledge that the that you were aware that the Germans had that, because Hitler was extremely versed in terms of the manipulation of consciousness with sound.
Because
the reality is, well, yeah, and apparently he was, from the sources that I could tell you another story about how he literally used sound at the Nuremberg rallies that he had with these huge speakers that were pumping out Wagner. Wagner is very, very solar plexus-oriented music, and he also had these very lower tone frequencies that can either be used to make you very calm or make you very agitated. And he had these very low tone frequencies that were agitating the people. And the people were in a state of excitement. Their solar plexus were there. They're almost shaking. And all of a sudden, Hitler hit the podium and started speaking. And they cut the sound that was jarring the nervous system. And people all of a sudden, all over the place, breathed a sigh of, they see Hitler, and he's talking. Can you imagine the instantaneous programming that occurred because of that?
Yes. Politicians today try to do that all the time.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not as effective as that.
Well, regrettably, some of them are, but that's beside the point. We won't go that route. But what you've brought out here is very significant, because there have been studies, Jonathan, on the effect of loud rock concerts and its effect on the minds of young people, the dark rock, the hypnotic effect. And this is something that there have been science fiction movies that have gone into this arena of darkness, if you will. But it also can be reversed, and it takes paying attention to this. It really does. And so what you've said there is so vitally important, and believe me, I totally understand this, and I do know that there has been phenomenal research that's been hidden from the public. But people like yourself are very, very astutely aware. I am, too, to a degree, but not as sophisticated as you are. Now, you put out recently a publication.
Can I just answer you back for, just for one more quick second? Because I am totally, look, sound goes into your ear, goes into your brain. From there, it goes into your nervous system, affecting your heart rate, your respiration, your brain waves. That's just a little portion of what it does. But I just also want to suggest that, you know, we talk about the, you know, the dark music of the young people. I just have to really, in their defense, okay, in their defense, they have a very different metabolic rate. They have a very different level of psyche, if you like, than we do. And I've always promised that I would never be like my parents when I was 13 or 14 years old, watching the Beatles and Ed Sullivan and holding their ears going, oh my God, what is that terrible music? So I just like to say that if all young folks were necessarily schooled on classical music and all that stuff, I don't know that that would actually, given this time and this place and the vibrational rate of the planet, I think I don't know necessarily that the music that they create is the cause of, or simply the effect. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. And I think the only response I'd want to give to that, Jonathan, is that I've been in environments, and maybe it's just me, but I've been in environments, even a Neil Diamond concert, and I love his music. I mean, I just think he's great. He's just a wonderful musician, and I love it. But where the tones, you talk about the loudspeaker, where the vibrational frequency was turned up at such a level that it's a response patterning. And I just observe people, and it's that intonation at such a volume, it's exactly what you described as Hitler utilizing and becoming the master of being able to modulate it.
I, and, I, appreci- I appreciate what you're saying there, but also I want to acknowledge also that with the iPhones and the iPods and the earbuds, you can turn that so loud that it literally creates a sound that, shall we say, has deleterious effects to our nervous system.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes people say to me, oh, okay, you know, why is it that the kids in their cars, you know, the cars almost should be jumping off the ground because there's such great bass amplification or whatnot. I said, well, what's happening? And a lot of people don't realize it. They're not doing that to annoy you. Basically, what happens is that loud sounds trigger the fight or flight response, so that it causes the release of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, a lot of these young folks are adrenaline junkies, which is, you know, so they're listening to the loud music to stimulate the adrenaline. And unfortunately, what that's also doing is that obviously they're affecting the nervous system, and it's also affecting the auditory pathway. So I think we're going to have, if we don't already, a generation of people who are really hard of hearing. This really concerns me a whole lot, too.
Well, but, it's good.
Yeah.
It's something I've known a number of young musicians. In fact, we have a very dear friend who has a son who's 18 now, and she demanded of her son, because he's part of a rock group, and the volume of sound. She even wears them when she goes to the concert, because you can still hear the music.
Yeah.
But they have special ear pieces that they put in because of the deafness. And I have a very, very dear friend who is a masterful drummer, and he lost his hearing and in both of his ears. And because it's just tremendous. This has been part of a problem with the music industry, but again, because of our technology and the amplification and that vibratory frequency. And
can
I
just
agree with you.
Jump in for a second? Because I was recently in Australia, and with my wife for an Uplift Festival for this December 21st solstice phenomenon. We were doing a presentation, a global sound. And one of the things that I was like really sharing with a lot of the young young generation of sound healers, and this is one of the secrets from my Seven Secrets of Sound Healing book, which is that louder isn't better. And this is where people really get confused. Like, they go, wow, I can really feel that sound because it's so loud. Therefore, oh, man, I love the effects of the sound. Well, yes, if somebody hits you upside the head with a 2x4, you can really feel it, but it won't be necessarily therapeutic. And most of the time, with regard to the power of sound to heal us, to actually create shift and change on a molecular level, on a cellular level to affect our DNA, we are actually talking about really, really subtle, soft sound. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bruce Lipton. And Bruce and I were having we're out for lunch one day when down in Australia, and we're having a discussion about that. And it was just, you know, such an interesting thing, because when you become more learned, then you go, yes, okay, it doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be, you know, more is not better. But oftentimes here, we, you know, not only here, on this planet now, we have this louder is better, more is better, longer is better, and that's not really the truth. And this has been known about for so very long. Okay, I am done with my lecture. I'm ready to go answer your question now. Sorry. I get off there, but I think these things are so important for people to understand.
They are, Jonathan. Now, I want to ask you a question. I know we're getting close to having a break here. Would you stay on with me for another 15 minutes? Because I really want to talk about the Cosmic Hum and the Pineal Gland Kit, or Pineal Activator Kit. Let me get that correct. The reason that I want to mention both of these products that you have is because with the Cosmic Hum, it and when you have it, I think it's a marvelous tool to use for meditation. I really think it has these subtle variances in tone that when you listen to it, it's not going to, and just like what we were talking about, when it's at a lower modulation level, and you're in a quiet spot, it allows you to release maybe the stress and tension of whatever you've got so that you can have that period of meditation. And I'll tell you how I like to use it. I like to use it whenever I'm reviewing material, the Cosmic Hum. And I like to have this, and I've used some of your chakra pieces too, when I'm reviewing material, because I know that it affects the brain and the capacity of learning with the brain. So this is something that we've got about 2 minutes before we go on break. Can you address the cosmic hum? Tell my audience what it does. And then if you're able, stay with me so we can come back after break.
Well, A, I'm certainly able, and gosh, if I'd realized, as I always do, that we didn't have so much time, I would be less wordy about the other things. The cosmic
hum. That's all right.
The cosmic hum, which I hope we can talk about more, but to me is a really, really profound, profound recording that asks the question, what if the initial beginning sound of creation was a hum? And this actually came from my reviewing some ancient Sanskrit Vedic literature that talked about the original sound of creation as being the hum of prana, and that later got turned into what they could be called the om, almost like an anthropomorphizing of sound. So I began to collect hums, the sounds of hundreds and then thousands of people humming, and as I did that, certain strange and really anomalous things happened to this recording, and what we have now is just, from my perspective, one of the most powerful, and literally, one could almost call it a psychoactive recording, because I personally use it just to sleep and really chill out. So if you are able to use it to do some serious work, I commend you, my friend.
Well, thank you. Now, for those of you listening, we're talking with Jonathan Goldman, and he has the World Healing Sound event. He's involved in various activities around the world promoting the knowledge and understanding he's gained about healing and sound. When we come back, we're going to be talking. We've talked for a moment about the cosmic hum, but this next segment is really important. It's about the pineal activator kit. Now, this is something where there is a tuning fork and there is a particular tonality. And Jonathan and I will be discussing this. And how, if you have wanted to become more aware of your own intuitive processes, this might be a tool you want to incorporate, and we'll tell you how you can use it. Jonathan, thank you for staying with me. We're
going to
come back in just a moment. Don't go away. We've got more good information to share. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. We are talking with a very, very renowned Jonathan Goldman, the master, if you will, of the exploration of sounds and healing. And Jonathan, you have this kit that you came out with. It's the pineal activator. It comes with what looks, I love your description, a hockey puck. And it's
but with a Sri Yantra on it.
And it has this beautiful patterning on it. And then there is a tuning fork. Now, I'm well aware of tuning forks, and I know that they can all have very different tonalities to them. And so I was talking to you when we were off air there, saying, Jonathan, why is it if I hold it a certain way, I don't get any sound out of it? Why is it when I'm working with this, and all of a sudden at the edge, and then there's this tonality that comes out. And it's got a particular pitch to it, and it holds the pitch, and then it fades away. What motivated you to develop this, and how does it work? This is really something that's intriguing to me, and I'm sure to some of my listeners, that you can actually activate the pineal gland, which is the sight, the third eye, for the development of clairvoyance.
Okay, boy, once again, I am going to try to be very precise with my verbiage, because I have a tendency of talking, and I could tell you about the discovery of that, etc., but I discovered that frequency through finding it in a book, and then this frequency disappeared in the book, and I said, ah, there's something special about it, but I didn't know. That was about 15 years ago. I didn't really know what it was till I was sitting with a friend of mine. We had had a tuning fork made of this, and he hit it, and he held it, and I basically took it and began to hold it around my third eye, and I realized that the frequencies of this particular tuning fork resonated the pineal gland, and I went, wow, that's what this is for. Because oftentimes, Don and I make these discoveries of a frequency or something, and I either am guided not to share it, or I don't even know what the heck it's for, and then all of a sudden it's like, this is designed to activate the pineal, and then we created the pineal activator kit, and the response to it has been extraordinary, and it works with it through the concept of resonance and the idea that it is actually, if you like, resonating and vibrating. The pineal gland has these little crystalline structures in it, and by vibrating the crystalline structure, it causes the vibrations of the pineal gland, and for many people, that stimulates the third eye, and I don't know if it's totally true, but I certainly have encountered people who have written me emails about great healings that they've had with associated problems that are related to the pineal gland. And, of course, the pineal is one of the master glands on in our whole endocrine system. So I just say that's very, very nice, because I never like to take credit of something. If a sound, that I have helped manifest if somebody feels that they have had great healing, that's fabulous, but I don't take credit for it. It's just like I give thanks, and if I feel that it hasn't, I also go, okay, that's fine too, because we're all unique vibratory beings. How did it affect you?
Well, I haven't had too much opportunity to work with it, I'll be honest, but I'm intrigued with the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And in your book, you have a booklet that comes along with the tuning fork, and I was having a challenge keeping the tone long enough. It's like it would dissipate very, very quickly whenever I would hit the tuning fork. And I thought, all right, I need to ask Jonathan about how to work with this so that the sound lasts a bit longer. It is, to me, to my ear, something of a higher tonality.
It
has a lot of little shades of tone within its structure. Am I wrong?
Well, no, you're totally right, and you've got to be able to hit it and then take it and hold it in front of your third eye. And if I mean, Donna, I thought that the instructions were good enough. Perhaps what we're going to need to do is put a little video going, okay, hit the edge of the tuning fork on the edge of the resonator, hit it really hard, and then hold it in front. If you just tap it lightly, it's probably not going to provide the, the impact necessary to set it in motion, because it's a very high pitch frequency tuning
mm-hmm.
fork. The lower the pitch frequency of the tuning fork, the less, mechanical resonance you need. So give it a good smack, at the tip of the tuning fork and on the tip of the resonator. Try it now, and I bet you. So I can hear it over the
mm-hmm.
air. Is it lasting longer for you?
Actually, it is.
Yes.
When you give me that instruction, it actually is lasting longer. Now, I found it interesting because I can hit the middle.
Right, but if you can hit close to the end of the tuning fork.
And there we go, and I think you might be able to hear a little bit of it as I'm doing it. But I know one of the things that you say is to not use this a whole bunch. Now, what I noticed when I did it and I followed your instructions and it was here, there was like a resonance that went through the third eye and went through my head.
Uh-huh.
And it went through the front to the back of the head, which sound penetrates cellularly and on an incredible level. And I find that very interesting. Why do you recommend not hitting it and putting it in front of the pineal gland, the third eye area, more, like, let's say, 5 or 10 times in a row? Why would you say that that is not a good thing to do?
I think more is not better. Louder is not better. And in the case of this, do it a few different times. Because also, people can, you know, also, people can become really addicted to doing something. So all of a sudden, somebody will be taking the tuning fork, and they'll be carrying it with them, and they'll be hitting it 24/7 or for however long they're awake, because they feel that they're not, because their belief system is such that they feel that unless they're holding it in front of their pineal gland, they won't be activating it, and therefore, I didn't want to create that. I think that with just a few different, strikings of the tuning fork and holding it in front of there, you're causing it to vibrate, and yet at the same time, and it'll be opening and activating, and it's like more isn't better. And, you know, we've got other things to do with our existence. For example, even with the cosmic hum, I love that. But by gosh and by golly, my next book well may be called Humming for Health. We are all sound healers. And the fact that we can, everybody can make a humming sound, project intention onto the humming sound. And I think this is great, but I just don't really know if, and potentially you could be humming 24/7. I just don't know, I think we're all so busy that I don't want people to become almost like obsessive compulsive with anything that I know about, whether it's sound or music, or what? In other words, thinking, okay, well, if I don't have this going, then I'm not. Then I'm going to be less of a person. And once again, I think that more is not better, as they've found that oftentimes you can take a breath of light and just fill yourself with light, and you know. I guess what I'm trying to suggest is that it's always good to be, you know, breathing light all the time. But at the same time, I just don't want people to become too focused that, you know, if they're not doing it, that they're not being in a state of health, happiness, and harmony. I just don't want people to get too obsessive about anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I think that is applicable to whether it's food, anything else. I think it's good to have moderation.
There you go.
About every level. And it's fascinating, at least it's been my experience, when I try to become really enamored, and this has been my whole life, just really this is the way it's going to be, and I'm going to be totally committed and dedicated to XYZ, and I find, I'm sorry, but life has given me a burp over here, so I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do the other, just exactly what you're describing. And then you learn, I think, as you mature, hopefully, that you have to find what works for you, and there's not a one-size-that-fits-all. I want to let my audience also know that you have different tuning forks, which I think is quite fascinating. You have the C and G tuning forks, which are great for reducing stress. You have the D and also the A tuning forks. And this is specific keynotes when I'm speaking of this.
Right, but the DNA actually works with the Fibonacci series, an 8 to 13 ratio, and it actually does seem to affect the DNA. I have to say that. It's a pretty interesting phenomena.
Well, and you've got just all kinds of wonderful information, Jonathan. Now, you've got a website, soundhealersassociation.org.
But I'd like to refer people to the healingsounds.com. I'll say that again.
Okay.
Healingsounds.com, and that is the umbrella of about a half a dozen other ones, including the worldsoundhealingday.org and the Sound Healers Association, but it's healingsounds.com, and that's the place, that's really the place to go for the information for everything there. And it'll take you to a whole lot of other ones, but it's really good. It's an award-winning website. It's easy to work with and navigate, and you can also download a free chakra tuning MP3. So I really want to suggest that one. Also, you know, gosh, Donna, because if anyone is listening out there on this day, and I know that there are lots of people, on February 14th, which is in a couple of days, it's Valentine's Day, it's also World Sound Healing Day. Which
oh,
is
I'm
a day-
so glad you brought that up, because I was going to mention it. I'm so glad you brought that up. What's going on there? We've got about a minute and a half, and I'd love to have you put that information out, because it's quite an special event.
Yeah, well, it's people throughout the planet basically make an ah sound, a sound basically from the heart, encoded with the energy of light and love, and it's projected to our planet, the Gaia Matrix, in order for us to basically send a sonic Valentine to the planet. And it's actually, this is the 11th one that we've had, this World Sound Healing Day, and it's been scientifically shown to literally affect the field of our planet. And I'm going to give you another website, which is worldsoundhealingday.org. You can go there, you can get more information, you can see the different events that are happening throughout the planet, and you can also get yourself a free download of on that one of a particular way of creating a coherent heart-brain manifestation so that you can work with sound and amplify the power of your own sound. That's really cool, too. How about that? Is that short enough?
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Perfect timing. Jonathan, it is always a joy having you on the show. And I think the more that we can become aware of our choices regarding sound and how we can make a shift and a change in our environment, regardless of what we are, just like your friend on the plane saying, I use this to help me go into that space where I can have a harmonic. Well, you need to check out Jonathan Goldman's site. Go to healingsounds.com. He's given you other information. It's just a delight. Check out his conference, because I think you will find it very interesting. Jonathan, again, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Donna, thank you so much, and many blessings of light and love through sound to you and your listeners. And remember, we heal the planet, we heal ourselves. We heal ourselves, and we heal the planet.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Quickly, I want to mention to those of you, we are opening the phone lines, 888-627-6008. For those of you in the Seattle, Washington area, actually, in any of the Western Washington area, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is coming up. I am so excited. I've been involved with this absolutely awesome group of gals, and we are going to be having this fabulous event March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It is an event of events for women, and it is just something you need to put on your calendars. Put it there because it's going to be terrific. On March 1st, I am going to be doing the Women's Forum. I've been doing this now for 4 or 5 years, and we get speakers coming in, and we're going to be having all kinds of fascinating subjects that we're going to be discussing. 6 Northwest women and men that will be speaking there, and it'll be from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on March the 1st. I'm going to be in booth number 405. I'll be available. I'm going to have Buku books. I'm going to have all kinds of information to share with you, and I just want you to know that this is what you need to put on your calendar. Go to Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Actually, just make it northwestwomenshow.com, and you'll get all the details on the admission prices and everything else. It is just incredibly dynamic, and oh, my goodness, you'll find out about the firemen who are going to be there and all kinds of wonderful other people that will bring the best of the best for the women of the world, and I want you to be there. So mark on your calendar March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. I look forward to having you join us. Don't forget to stop by booth number 405 and say hello. Like I said, I'll have plenty of books. I'll also be doing mini sessions for people as well. Valentine's Day. Can you believe it's almost here? Whoa! This year is just seemingly to fly by. I'm just astonished. Cindy Phillips wrote a delightful, delightful little ditty here, and I want to share it with you. It's got a background of chocolate. Mm-hmm. The one and only component of Valentine's Day that will never, ever go away because it has become a symbol of love and affection. And, of course, all we ladies know how chocolate affects the brain. Candy hearts in pastel colors, chocolate in heart-shaped boxes. Flowers tied with satin bows all speak the same language. Be mine, Valentine. Ah, yes. Wonderful, wonderful holiday. And someone said, it's not a holiday. I said, oh, yes, it is. This is something. The language of love has always been celebrated, and this is one day, a holiday to celebrate the language of love. And I think it is marvelous. By the way, again, you can give me a call if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 888-627-6008. That's right. 888-627-6008. I just have had so much wonderful, wonderful material come my way. And this week, because of Valentine's Day, I want to share with you a strawberry swirl cheesecake recipe. I won't be doing that necessarily. Well, maybe I'll have some time to do that today. So I will do it. But I would love to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And for those of you that would like to keep in touch with the activities that are going on with me and other of my associates, all you need to do is go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find out more of what is coming up. This is going to be a dynamic year for many, many people. And I want to thank those that hosted me and interacted with me while I was on my business trip in Southern California. It was just an absolutely dynamic, wonderful, wonderful time. And it's always good. Don't you think it's good to take a break, to go someplace that you very rarely have a chance to go to reach out to people, to talk with them, establish connection maybe with new friends, new individuals that are going to bring a whole different perspective into your life. Life is about living. Life is about being a participant, not being someone that's just existing, living in front of a television set, just staying in your pajamas and not doing anything. There is a vitality in life that is there for you to grasp, to grip. And wherever I go, I find someone to talk to. And there's always these wonderful, wonderful stories that people share. And I happened to meet a lady yesterday who used to be involved in broadcasting. And she said that was one of the things she loved about doing her show when she was doing it regularly, were the stories that people had to tell. And she said, everybody has a story. And isn't that the truth? You have a story. You may think, oh, Donna, my story is insignificant. But your story is important. because your story and how you've dealt with challenges and changes of life can make a difference in someone else's life. And that point was brought home to me when I was 19 years old. I had gone through a very ugly series of circumstances, and there was a woman by the name of Peggy. And, of course, we were very young, and she had gotten herself into a pretty bad situation, too. And what I did was tell her my story at the time and share with her what I had learned. And I said, I want you to save yourself from going through the ugliness that I've experienced. And I can remember sitting and talking to her. We were sitting in a car. She was grieving because of the environment she was in. She had unknowingly stepped into something that was literally shredding her emotionally, spiritually, physically in some respects. And I can remember being 19 years old, sitting in a car seat next to her and just saying, I haven't shared this with anyone, but I'm going to share it with you. Please don't follow what I have experienced. And we sat in that car and it got dark, and all she did was listen, and it changed her life. You never know how you as an individual can touch someone else's world. And I lost touch with her after a while, but I did have the occasion to see her later on. It was about a year later. She had totally turned her life around. And I had remembered that. And I thought, this is something many times we don't realize, that maybe what we go through, our lesson of experience, whatever it is meant to empower someone else. Now, I'm not saying you should go out and put yourself in front of a Mack truck, for heaven's sake, but I am saying be aware that we all, as Richard Bach said, we're all learners, we're all teachers, and we're all masters in one way or another. And it's a constant, ongoing process. I visited with a friend who's 82 years old on this business trip, and I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. And my goodness, the warmth, the love, and the wisdom that she shared with me of something she'd just gone through the year before. She's 82 years old. How many times do we look at people and say, oh, my goodness, they're in their 80s, they're in their 90s. What do they have to worry about? This woman is working. She has a business of her own. She hasn't stepped away from life. What an inspiration. Even though she's substantially older than me, it doesn't make any difference. You can always learn. And I want you to be open to that. I want you to recognize that within yourself is a greatness. Your journey has gotten you to a particular point. What you do with it is going to be up to you. But realize you're always going to be learning something new. You're always going to be out there in that world, finding that the world and nature does not stagnate. It really, really doesn't want to do that. Change has always been the name of the game. It just seems like it's changing a lot faster today than it did in my grandma's time. But in her world, even, when I reflected on it when she died at the age of 91, wow, speed of change in her world was something else. So, as a very famous woman, Dottie Walters, once said, carpe diem, seize the moment. This is your moment now. Live in the present. Take the best from the past you possibly can, because that enables you to become a sculptor for your future. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have an utterly magnificent day. And tomorrow, we're going to be talking about, Ms. Mary Mouse, Marriage Mouse. Yes, she's married, too, but she's all about marriage. So we're going to be talking about that, and, oh, you'll enjoy every moment of it. See you here tomorrow. Tell your friends. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.